This is 5x5, a podcast from the Frontier Master Executive Council. 5x5, the podcast for the ALPA pilots of Frontier Airlines. We hear you loud and clear.
Hey everybody, welcome back for part two of our retirement insurance episode featuring Captain Jeff Hicks and Celeste Sweeney up from ALPA National. Today we discuss 401k, cash over cap, long-term disability, and a little bit of a short-term disability hack, benefits, resource center, medical coverage, offsetting the high costs of high deductible with a few little tips and tricks as well. It's a great episode. Jeff shares a little bit of, you know, what drives him to be passionate about ALPA work, and there's a lot to learn in this one. So enjoy, and we'll be back soon with another episode.
You mentioned your involvement came from going out on a leave of absence and the struggle to come back and the frustration around not having 401k secure. Can you run through our contract and let people know the systems that are in place, the things that we have that maybe they're not taking full benefit of? Maybe they could learn something, or there's a product that we offer that they're not utilizing. And just walk through the contract step by step and explain what we have and give my voice a few minutes to recover as we go through this.
Sure, Jason, not a problem. We'll start with CBA Section 28, that's retirement. And one of the things you mentioned earlier is when I went out on leave, what I experienced, I was not able to fully fund my 401k plan for the remainder of the year. That's something we cannot do here at Frontier. We don't have the ability to do that. That can be changed. One of the ways to do that is with a product called 401k Secure. And you can go to 401ksecure.com and see that for yourself if you'd like. And really what this is, a long-term disability product that would live, if you will, inside your 401k plan. Now, it's relatively new to the marketplace. It's, I think it's 7 or 8 years old. And the reason why it's new is because the IRS made a change. Actually, there was a private letter ruling that the IRS put out and allowed this to function as is. The way the 401k Secure plan works, the premiums for that disability plan have to be withdrawn from your 401k plan to pay for that LTD coverage. And in doing so, it's not considered a taxable event.
Do we have 401k Secure at Frontier?
We do not, which is unfortunate, but it's something that we could have in place right now. So it's a relatively new product. But in a nutshell, it lives inside your 401k plan. When you're on disability, that's long-term disability is activated. That 401k Secure is activated, and it makes contributions into your 401k plan. It's highly configurable. That's something that we can have here at Frontier. I know that other properties are looking at it as well. There's a couple of things out there that I'd like to point out. The MEC R&I website, we don't get a lot of traffic on that. So if you haven't taken the time to log into the MEC website and look at the different committees tabs in there, the R&I website is pretty good wealth of information that you can get into. One of those things is the Schwab microsite that we had put together for the Frontier pilots. And there's a lot of great information on that particular microsite, which you can access through the MEC R&I webpage. A lot of questions we get asked regarding retirement is cash over cap and how that whole process works. And I could probably spend an entire podcast talking about cash over cap, because it is, to most people, it's a complex issue. And you're dealing with the IRS and their limits on contributions. And it gets a little bit confusing, but we'll see if we can break it down into layman's terms. Cash over cap, there's really two limits or caps for the IRS, if you will. And I like to call them contribution limit, and the other is known as the income limit. Now, contribution limit falls under section 415C of the, I believe it's IRC, the IRS code, if you will. And the income limit falls under 401A17 of the IRS code. But the contribution limit, and they, remember, these are two different caps. So the contribution limit, or the contribution cap, if you will, for 2023 is $66,000. Now, what is that? That is a combination of the contributions that you make and the company makes to the plan. It does not include your age 50 plus catch-up contributions. So in essence, for 2023, the most that you can contribute to the plan, you and the company combined, is $66,000. Okay, so what happens if that's exceeded? That money is paid out within 30 days at the end of the calendar year. And does the company stop making contributions once that $66,000 is hit, or once that 415C limit is hit? No, they don't. They continue to make those contributions. And that's a lot of the questions and frustrations that we're experiencing with the pilot group right now, because they don't understand why the company can't stop contributing. And it's just the nature of the beast. That's the way it is. The way to get around this, quite frankly, do what you want with your 401k, but you can adjust your personal contribution limit so you don't exceed that $66,000. Because at the end of the calendar year, a withdrawal from your 401k will have to be made to pay whatever that overage is of the $66,000. Now, on the 401A17 limit, what we call the income limit, or the other cap, the income cap for 2023, that's $330,000. And once you hit that cap, the company does stop contributing those funds into your 401k. And those are paid out 30 days after the quarter in which that limit was exceeded. So there's two different types of caps there, the 401A17 and the 415C. Now, I know that's confusing. It is. And a lot of pilots say, hey, I should be getting cash over cap money. It depends. Is it the 415C or is it the 401A17 limit? Because there's two caps there. And there's actually information on the R&I web page of the MEC about this. And there's also online information as well. Now, you have to remember that these numbers, these limits are adjusted every year by the IRS. So they were adjusted for 2023. So the data that's on the MEC R&I web page is using 2022 numbers. But how that system works is still the same.
Let me come in real quick on that. So just to be clear, our defined contribution, 15% that the company has, that never stops being paid out to the pilot. It just stops being deposited into these accounts. Is that correct?
Well, it depends. If it's at the 401A17, the income limit, $330,000, then that automatically stops being contributed. That cash over cap money stops being contributed into the 401k and is paid out instead in cash. The other limit, the 415C limit, the contribution limit, that's $66,000. If that's exceeded, they don't stop making those contributions, those cash over cap contributions into your 401k. Those contributions continue into your 401k, and that's the problem that we're running into, is that money has to be withdrawn from your 401k at the end of the calendar year and paid back to the pilots. And the only way right now to prevent that from happening is to monitor your contributions and make sure that you're not going to exceed that $66,000. And how you do that, of course, is...
Go ahead. That sounds really frustrating to me. So I take my time to maximize my Roth 401k. So I'm going to max that out, $22,500 in there each year. And that individual contribution counts towards this $66,000 contribution, correct?
Correct.
So if I'm contributing all that money Roth in the comp, which would make that $66,000 limit come quicker in the year, all of those contributions are going to take a tax hit on it. They're going to pay me out cash from a withdrawal from that 401k. I guess the only thing that would make sense to do with that in my mind is to put it back in a Roth contribution somehow. But how do you even do that? Like this is a very confusing subject. And it sounds like there's major lifelong retirement type issues as far as being able to capitalize on the benefits of Roth. I know that there's been something that happened, and Celeste, you might be the best one to answer this, where employers are now able to take their contributions and put them into 401ks via Roth contributions. Is that something that you've seen happen across the industry at all, where our defined contribution might be able to go in as Roth instead of a traditional? And then I think the hit to me, myself individually, if I go over that $66,000 cap in the year, would be less painful because we've already paid taxes on it, correct?
So that feature that you're talking about with like companies being able to make their contributions Roth, that's new. And we haven't really seen that applied across the industry yet. I'm sure that in the upcoming years, we'll see that more frequently. But as of right now, it's pretty standard to still have the company contributions be pre-tax.
And it's an option. The employer doesn't have to do it.
That's correct. Yes.
So I'm obviously going to have to read the retirement insurance page, especially now that I've upgraded to captain, income's higher. So there is a possibility of hitting that limit, especially since I'm somebody that maximized my Roth limits. Just to get an understanding, and hopefully this is a great opportunity for you, Jeff, to clarify this for the pilot group. If you're hitting that $66,000 limit, how do pilots make that income limit work the best for them?
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a large disclaimer at the beginning of this podcast regarding advice. I don't give advice. I just offer suggestions, if you will. And logically, if you think about how that $66,000 is reached, it's a combination of company contributions and regular contributions to your 401k. So if you're going to breach that $66,000, the company's not going to stop contributing their 15%. So the only way, logically, to not breach that $66,000 is to reduce your contributions and to monitor that throughout the year.
But then you're growing with a tax burden instead of growing without a tax burden at redemption time at the end of your career when you're pulling the money out. The benefit of Roth is to pay the taxes now instead of paying them later, right?
Right.
But there is like a conversion feature within a lot of 401k plans that allows you to turn that pre-tax contribution, whether it's your contribution or the employer contribution, you can initiate that and turn that into after-tax.
Interesting.
So that feature is in existence. Jeff, do you know off the top of your head if Frontier offers that?
Frontier does not offer that.
That is something that could be added to the plan relatively easily.
through negotiations.
Yes. Yeah.
Correct. Jason, you and I have talked about this before. When you stack up our R&I benefits compared to our large jet peers, we're outliers in every category. But there's a cost to those R&I benefits, which is factored into the pay rate, right? So we have a lot of pilots that say, well, we want this particular carrier's rate plus one. I'll be happy. Nothing else changed. We go on our way.
Right.
Well, you have to understand that's not an apples to apples comparison, because if we don't bring our R&I benefits up to what that carrier is, it's not their pay rate plus one effectively. It's their pay rate minus 30 or whatever the dollar figure is for the value of our benefits, or negatively speaking.
Did you know you can subscribe to 5x5 and be notified immediately upon publication? Most of our recent downloads have been coming from browsers like Safari or Chrome. We made it simple to subscribe. Go to the show notes and click the subscribe link. It will take you to a list of podcast apps. Click your favorite. Your app will open up to this podcast. Click subscribe and never miss an episode.
Talk about CBA Section 27, the insurance. It's really important for pilots to know their policy. We always talk about, hey, know your contract. Well, know your insurance policy. I see too many pilots that go out on long-term disability and they don't take the time to read their long-term disability policy. And a lot of pilots don't know where they get a copy of their long-term disability policies or any of their insurance policies. How that works is you go into UltraPro, and in the top right-hand corner, it says benefits enrollment. I wish it said benefits enrollment / information. That would be less ambiguous, but that's the way it is. Click on benefits enrollment, and that's going to lead you into the Imperium website. And in the Imperium website, if you go in there, you'll find the summary plan descriptions, the plan documentation for things like the Hartford's long-term disability policy. I know it's pretty dry reading, but it's really important to know your insurance policy because there are important things in there. One of the things that a lot of pilots don't know is that there is a return to work incentive policy within a long-term disability policy. It's a 12-month benefit. And basically what that says is while you're receiving long-term disability benefits, you can go get a job and make additional income, and they won't reduce your long-term disability benefits over that 12-month period as long as your combined income with your disability benefits does not exceed your pre-disability earnings. Okay, that's really important. So a lot of pilots are not aware of that, and that's a great thing to have. Just an example of why it's important to know your policy. LTD issues. There's two things that pop up continually. One is return to work. And under our current contract, the company has 45 days to get you back on the payroll. And how they do that, obviously, is, and I'm talking about a dequalified pilot. So the company has 45 days to schedule your training, and you're not considered back on the payroll until you report for that training duty. On the 46th day, if they haven't scheduled that training, that's when they have to put you back on the payroll. Where this really hurts is you're not getting long-term disability benefits anymore. You've been cleared to return to work, therefore you're no longer disabled. Now it's up to the company, and they have 45 days to schedule you into training. That's something that is hurting a lot of pilots. I've seen pilots go into 40 plus days before they report for duty, before they're back on the payroll. So that's something to be aware of in the policy. The other thing that I see is special issuance and long-term disability benefits. If you read CBA 27C4, it basically says that your long-term disability benefits are going to continue until you receive your medical back and you can exercise the privileges of that medical. Well, if you're a special issuance, are you getting that medical from your AME? No. Where's that medical coming from? It's being mailed from Oklahoma City, from the FAA itself. So what we're seeing is they're approving your return to work on, let's say, April 1st, but you're not receiving the physical paper copy, your FAA medical certificate, until April 15th. Okay. And we know that we cannot exercise the duties of a pilot certificate unless we hold in our hands that physical paper copy of our medical certificate. So it's very important for pilots to understand that long-term disability benefits would not end on April 1st. They would end when you have that paper certificate in your hand. We're seeing the Hartford terminate benefits early based on when the special issuance was issued from the FAA versus when it really should be terminated, when you have that paper copy in your hand. So please be aware of that. And if you run into that issue where the Hartford refuses to pay when you receive your paper copy in your hand, and again, I'm talking about special issuance, you need to send us a DART and we'll take care of it. So that's very important.
I have a couple of points on LTD that I would like to add, but I just think it's really important for pilots to thoughtfully consider enrolling in LTD and which program they're picking out when they're initially new hires. There is evidence of insurability, which is required if you're choosing to enroll for a long-term disability during open enrollment or increase your coverage during that point in time. And that is an extended application process, which requires medical physicals, a medical history alongside of the application, and can cause for coverage to be denied. So I do think it is very important for pilots when they're initially starting at Frontier to really consider which LTD program they want to enroll in. I know Frontier just brought on their buy-up option number 2 during open enrollment this previous year. And I think that Jeff mentioned that they had a lot of pilots take that opportunity to enroll. And so I'd like to see that, but just something to consider. And Frontier offers the ability to impute or choose not to impute your LTD premiums. And this causes, depending on what the choice is, it causes the benefit to be received either taxed or tax-free. So if a pilot chooses to impute their income for their LTD premiums, then when they receive long-term disability benefits, it is not taxed. other carriers, they don't offer this option to impute income for LTD. So the benefits that their pilots are receiving are taxable. So that's how it's working at different airlines.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's actually unique to Frontier in that we have the option of our LTD benefits either being tax or tax-free. And that's something that we want to hang on to.
The 5x5 podcast wants to hear from you. Throw us a dart at dart.alpa.org or via our app and let us know what we're doing well, where we need improvement, and what you want to hear in upcoming episodes. We hear you loud and clear.
Additionally, we talk about what Hartford has done to improve the claimant's experience with the claims managers when they're on long-term disability. And again, this is going back into AltaPro on the right-hand side. Under, you'll see the Hartford there, and they have options. It's actually neat. You can actually schedule a call with a claims analyst on their system. And it talks about that in there. So there's a lot of really good information on that AltaPro page. And I would invite pilots to check that out. The benefits department has done a really good job of putting that information in there. I personally have used the Benefits Resource Center, their email, and their toll-free number as far as calling them and looking for information regarding benefits. If you can't find a summary plan description or insurance policy, they can send that to you. They've been very helpful as well. So I would recommend giving that a shot. Wellness, we talk about the high deductible health plan. Oh, and some pilots I run into, and I'm not advising you which way you should go with your medical coverage. If you want to go the PPO plan, one of the higher dollar plans, or if you want to go with the high deductible health plan. But a lot of pilots are a little bit concerned about that high deductible on the high deductible health plan. One of the ways that you can possibly offset those concerns is to purchase critical illness or accident insurance. And there's a wellness credit associated with that. And the wellness credit it's very easy. When you go in for your routine physical every year, and this does not include the FAA physical, you apply for wellness credit and it's $100. So that offsets the cost of that. And if you look at a critical illness or an accident policy, but if you have that, you'll get payment for that. It's kind of like an Aflac policy, if you will. Everybody knows Aflac. But that's one way you can offset the high deductible cost of a high deductible health plan.
Another way to offset the cost of a high deductible health plan is fully utilizing your health savings account. These high deductible health plans are paired with health savings accounts, which allow you to set aside pre-tax dollars towards those healthcare expenses as they come up. The amount that you can contribute is every year is assessed by the IRS. And Frontier is also contributing towards your health savings account. Like I said, those dollars that you contribute are pre-tax. If you have it invested, any growth is pre-tax, and those distributions are pre-tax as long as they're being used towards medical expenses. And this can be a great tool for even in saving for your retirement and your healthcare in your retirement, because you can use those HSA dollars towards Medicare coverage and premiums there. You can also use it towards your long-term care premiums if you have a long-term care premium up to a certain amount, which is defined by whatever age you are. It's in the IRS code 213, if you'd like to take a look at it. But this is a great savings tool and retirement tool that can be utilized to also make that high deductible look a little bit less scary.
We're talking about the benefits of HSA and the ability to invest it. Do either of you know, are you able to have that managed through PCRA type setup?
The HSA funds?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the HSA funds, you can self-direct those in a Schwab brokerage account. That's what I do with mine. What's important to know with HSA money is that's your money. You keep that. That's your money, and you're going to take that with you when you retire, when you leave the company. I like to think of HSA funds as a sub-retirement account because that's really what they are. For high-income individuals, it's one of the last things left where we can sock money into something like that and have that money grow tax-deferred. It's one of the things that you want to look at as far as just putting the money in there and possibly using it in retirement to pay for healthcare costs and whatnot. There's plenty of really good articles online about maximizing the use of your HSA.
Yeah. And I can just add to that really quickly with your HSA as well. There's this concept of shoeboxing healthcare receipts, essentially paying for your medical costs out of pocket during the time of service and then saving that receipt. And whenever you need some cash flow, if there's a furlough or a layoff, or even later on, you can then claim those receipts and claim those costs and give yourself a distribution of that pre-tax money, those funds. You have your receipt already set and you can substantiate those if you need to, if you were ever audited, but it is a way that you can get that cash flow pre-tax. And at age 65 as well, the penalty around using HSA funds for non-medical items goes away. So you could use it for pretty much anything after age 65.
That's really interesting.
It's a powerful tool that not a lot of people give thought to. They don't understand how that would work in retirement. And quite frankly, you know, I plan on retiring with six figures in my HSA, if I'm lucky, hopefully, and using that towards my medical costs. So that'll be a valuable tool in retirement. And rather than using taxed money from a 401k to pay for my medical costs, I could use tax-free money from my HSA to pay for medical costs. Isn't that correct, Celeste?
Yes, that's correct. And this is a couple of years old, but Fidelity released a statement saying that like the average cost for medical costs in retirement for a couple that's age 65 was like $315,000 towards healthcare alone in retirement. So that HSA can really be used as a savings vehicle for those costs, for your Medicare premiums, any out-of-pocket medical expenses that incur during retirement.
Yeah, good. Really important to consider. And especially for the younger pilots we have here, they have ample time to really build that account up into something extremely robust. So that's a very powerful tool.
Like what you're hearing? Please take a moment to share the 5x5 podcast on social media or text it to that pilot who has no idea there is a podcast. An informed pilot group is a unified pilot group.
Is there a way to maximize the knowledge that you have on the contract to make your take-home pay the best while still maintaining all of the benefits offered to us through our current setup?
One of the hacks, quite simply, is eventually using your sick time in lieu of short-term disability. So per the contract, you don't have to, if you have a short-term disability policy in place, you don't have to use those benefits. Per the contract, you can use your sick time and or your vacation time as payout while you're on that short-term disability period before long-term disability kicks in. And the reasons why that's important to do it that way, in my opinion, is because that's considered earned income and the company has to make the 15% non-elective contribution to your 401k on that earned income, on that sick time that you're using to bridge that gap until long-term disability benefits begin. So per the contract, 15 days of sick time equals 75 hours of credit for the month. So obviously 45 days of sick time is going to bridge that gap for you. And it's actually worth more than the short-term disability policy pays out, and you get the non-elective contribution into your 401k as well. So that's a really good hack to know.
Jeff's not able to talk about the in-depth details. He can't negotiate in public. He can't share these intricate details with you about what the negotiating committee, what our MEC is bringing to the table in negotiations. So understand that Celeste and Jeff are here to communicate that information down from ALPA National to us and from us back up to ALPA National so that everybody's on the same page going to negotiation so that we can achieve that career contract that we all need to stay and have a fruitful career here at Frontier Airlines. So is there anything else any of you would like to talk about today?
So we have the QR code Career Contract Done Right, and it's actually the same QR code that's on the side of the bus. But if you go to the MEC webpage, contract comparison, you can pull it up there. And it's a 101 page contract comparison. It's pretty in-depth. There is an R&I section in there, which gets into comparing our benefits to other large jet peers, which is really important to see how we stack up. It doesn't go into a deep dive. I've gone into a deep dive just so everybody knows what the MEC and the NC of how we stack up among our peers. And we know what improvements need to be made based upon that information, thanks to ALPA National.
Yeah, so that's a document that's already been provided to everybody listening. You can go into your previous emails and look at contract comparison document. It's that same document. So if you save that email, it's there. But otherwise, use that barcode in that packet of information that you received in the mail to get a better understanding of how we stack up. Again, thanks for staying on. I know it's been long and a super exciting topic.
Yeah, I know, right? Eyes glaze over and drool starts to form. No, I get it. Thank you, Jason, for all you do. I don't think I really asked the question why I do ALPA work. And I think that's important. And whether or not it makes a show, I don't know, but I'd like to tell my story of why I continue to do what I do. And I get asked why I do this work. And it's a thankless job. I'm sorry, it's not a job. It's a volunteer position. It's a thankless volunteer position most of the time. Pilots, unless they volunteer for ALPA work, most pilots don't have any idea what goes on behind the scenes and what it is their ALPA volunteers do. So I would strongly encourage people to step up and volunteer. We make a difference, big, small, in the lives of our pilots and also the lives of our pilots' families. One in particular reason I continue to do what I do, and it's something that I occasionally have to remind myself when things get a little stressful with the amount of ALPA work that I do, is in my new hire class in January 2016, we had an individual, great guy, and he was diagnosed with stomach cancer in 2018, just prior to the start of the new contract in 2019. And his stomach cancer was terminal. And unfortunately, he was experiencing the long-term disability benefits under the old contract, which were slightly less than what we have now. So they had to suffer through that. His family had to suffer through not having the retirement contributions to their 401k. And ultimately, when he did pass away, his group life insurance claim was denied by the Hartford. And his wife called me and left a voicemail on my phone, which I still have, and I still listen to it. And that's what motivates me. And she was very distraught, somewhat hysterical, because that's really all she had. And I stepped in, and we got legal involved, and we got that claim taken care of like it should have been in the first place. But that is a reminder to me why I do what I do. And that's what motivates me to continue to do it, even though it continues to be very challenging, which is fine and stressful.
Yeah, when you think of the individuals that you have the opportunity to help, it definitely keeps giving you that drive and determination to show up and work hard for them. So I appreciate you sharing that story. It's one of those things that we all hope that we don't have to go through. It's actually a couple things that we hope we don't have to go through in our careers, but that's why we have the assistance of ALPA National. That's why we have the benefits program in general through our employers and fought for by our MEC negotiating committee and people like you and Celeste. So I appreciate the effort that you put in.
I would like to talk about my own thing. It's called Take 15. Take 15 minutes of your own time and volunteer your own time to try and find the answer before you send a dart, before you call or text or email one of your reps. You might learn something when you pull open the contract. It's very important. A lot of the questions that we get asked are simple questions and can get answered if you just take 15 minutes and volunteer your own time to try and find the answer yourself. So that's really important. I'd also like to give a shout out to the R&I committee members. We've got a great team of guys, and they do a phenomenal job of answering the darts. Keep up the good work, gentlemen.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for all you do. Appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to another episode of 5x5. Please take a moment, click that subscribe button in your app so that you can be notified as soon as these are published. You're not waiting around for an email from us or hearing about it from a friend. You'll know exactly when they're published. We dove in on a broad stroke in this episode, but Jeff and I actually came back and we recorded a whole nother episode. We were trying to figure out which areas we needed to define better, give you more information on. And honestly, we just didn't like it because we didn't hear from you. So do me a favor, throw us a dart. Go to the ELP app, drop down, find podcast, and let me know where you need more clarification, more understanding when it comes to retirement insurance benefits. And we'll get Jeff back on the show to dive into those and give you a little bit more insight. Thanks for all of you that have subscribed already. I'd like to increase those numbers. Like, share, give this out to your friends who work here at Frontier, your friends that want to work here at Frontier. And I think you're going to like where we're going forward. I've already recorded one episode. I'm headed on a vacation. We'll get that edited out and published soon. October, I've got one scheduled for interview. November, really excited about the topics we're going to be covering and the information we'll be providing the pilot group. Thanks, and I'll talk to you again soon.